Hello there. Are you ready to hear tales of the paranormal, weird, unexplained, and just plain creepy? If the answer is yes, then welcome to your worst nightmare. But be warned, there's no turning back. Now here are Todd, Sean, and Nate, and they are middle-aged and creeped out.
Hey, Creepies, thanks for joining us for episode number 71. Nate is your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we are middle-aged and creeped out. What's going on, fellas?
Oh, my gosh. I never know how to answer this. What is going on?
What's not going on?
We're recording. It's recording night.
I think I forget what to do with my hands.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Forgot to do with your mics.
I don't know what to do with my mic.
What do we do with the mic?
My voice.
We did have a week off from seeing each other since I was on vacation.
We were on a break.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Sabbatical.
Yeah. A forced sabbatical.
It was forced.
Yeah.
It was forced. It was needed.
Yeah, it was good.
My wife and kids appreciated it, and I did too. So I went to the great state of Texas. And I'm going to say they were very good to us. I love the state of Texas. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. We went to Galveston, had a great place to visit, and we had a great condo and awesome places to eat and all that shopping.
You went on a Honda tour, right?
We did not. That's I know.
You had one job.
I know. One job.
That's all right. Failure.
Smells like failure.
But, like I said, as much as I love Texas and like I said, everybody was real hospitable and met a few nice people.
The country of Texas, right?
Mm-hmm. Guys, Texans, fellow Texan creepies, you can't drive.
Oh, I didn't know that was going there.
Wow.
It was incredible. So I apologize all the Texas towns and cities who listen to us. You guys are terrible drivers.
Are they fast or like they just don't
aggressive?
Aggressive?
Okay. Fast. So like, whoa.
So
you know,
New York and L.A. converge there or is that?
In Illinois.
Yeah. In Illinois. Like, oh, man. We are just
We were
pulling no punches.
Yes.
We were pulling zero punches here on traffic. Man.
Like I said, people are great, but man, when they get behind the wheel, we're like, whew, that's rough. Like, it's not just aggressive fast driving. It's not very good. But anyway, we love you, though. Hey, love you, State of Texas.
Reminds me of when I went to Philadelphia.
I heard that was rough, too. I heard it can be. Yeah.
I went by taxi everywhere.
I mean, let's see if they're on our
list. It was scary. It's not going to fit. Okay, you made it fit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We didn't hit anything.
It's an old city. Cool. Give it a break, right?
You know what you're doing. Yeah, no, it was fun. Had a blast. It was nice to get a
You
a
met
weekend.
Nice people down there.
Oh, man. Oh, I love the state. It's just like I said, just driving was a little questionable. But no.
That is not where I thought that was going to go.
But hey, it was great.
I remember street always comes back. It's like
in Philly?
In Philly, there's cars parked on this side, cars parked on that side is basically a single lane down the center. And I was like, is this one way? It's like, no, it's two way.
Yeah, right.
Okay.
For who?
I
tricycles?
When I was there, and it was a couple decades ago now, I remember somebody explaining to me, same thing with like Boston and a lot of those other cities.
Hey, don't be bashing Boston.
I'm not, but they're old cities. And I'm like, these streets are tiny.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, but this used to be horse and buggy. I mean, this is what they were designed for. And I'm like, oh, that makes sense.
They weren't built for 4x4 trucks and wide bodies.
But you could update them.
Sure.
But yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, it was great. Still had a good time. Yeah. So yeah, we're back. Now the crew's back and ready to rock and roll, aren't we?
Who's the crew?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. We're talking 80s bands now, right?
I'm not talking Motley Crue.
That crew.
I mean the Motley Crue. So here we go. Episode 71, Creepies. Thanks for joining us. I'm going to give Mr. Sean a chance to tell the announcements.
I do. I have the first part of the announcements, which I generally do.
You better have them.
I mean, I know I do.
It's not going to start out very well.
They're right here. The first thing, and I really want to give a lot of emphasis on this because this is what we're about. We are about making sure that we highlight the mental health aspect of this community. Mm-hmm. And it's an important community all the way around, and we're having fun. We're enjoying guy time. But we want to make sure each time and every time we give out first the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Hotline, which is 1-800-662-4357, and also the Suicide Veterans and bullying hotline. That is 1-800-273-8255, or you can text 838-255. There's also a bullying website, which is at stopbullying.gov.
Good job.
I know. And
I've been saying that for a week. Good job, Sean. Now, we want our creepies healthy, don't
yes,
we?
Yes, absolutely. Body, mind, and spirit, but mind especially. Yes.
I'm trying.
Aren't we
we're all,
trying.
Oh, yeah, right. He's focus. Remember the focus.
Focus. Yeah.
What's funny is we're on vacation. It's like, man, I feel better and everything, mentally, you know, spirit. And I come home, which is fine. We miss home. We love coming home.
Yeah, clubbed like a seal.
Then all of a sudden, it doesn't take a whole lot of time for life to just get right back to the craziness.
Yeah.
So we had you know, our kids' best friends over, and it's like, okay, the Walker kids, you know, Ryan's kids.
And his kiddos, yeah. Texas Ranger.
Hi. Yeah. Shout out to Ryan.
Walker, Texas Ranger.
There you go.
see, now I was not going to bring.
sorry, Ryan.
So they were over. It's like, okay, back home. Good. Got our second kids, you know. And then also they're out and whatever. And then Amy goes, the pups are kind of quiet. And when they're quiet, it means they're up to no good. 10 seconds later, dack on it, son of a. She's like, bad girl, bad boy. They had chewed up her brand new Vera Bradley. Oh. What do you call the things on the back of the phones that a lot of women have to hold?
Pop socket.
Yeah, pop socket. Yeah,
she bought a special. It was on sale. It was, you know, Vera Bradley down in Galveston, and our pups.
Oh man,
I go, babe, we're back from vacation.
Welcome
back.
Yeah,
It's life is So
smacked you in the face.
Full steam ahead.
Like I said, club to the head.
yeah. So no, it was good, but yeah, you know, we want to make sure our creepies are taking care of themselves and taking care of each other. I've got a few announcements. I'm going to give a shout out first. Speaking of Texas, we met a sweet lady. Her name is Paula, and she works at one of the restaurants that we went to 3 times. It's called the Lil Buffalo Grill.
Oh, that's
in Galveston. Cool. Yeah. Oh my
hi,
gosh.
Paula.
Awesome. Yeah. Hi, Paula. You're a sweetheart. She is a spunky, cute little. She said she was 70, but she looks like she's 60.
Yeah,
and she has more energy
heart
than
of
I 20 do.
Year
and my
old.
Kids. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
You showed us a picture. She looks very cute.
Oh my gosh. So nice. The food was awesome, by the way. And so
what,
I told
you
her,
a foodie.
Oh man, I am. I gained a few pounds. So I want to give a shout out to our friend Paula, and we also want to give a shout out to a young man. He's 19. Named Junior, and he works at one of the wing stores that we, you know, souvenir shops.
Shout out to Junior.
And he, yeah, so they both said they were going to listen to the podcast, cool. And I told him, I promised that I would give him a shout out. Mm-hmm. So,
thank you,
hi,
both,
Junior.
Yeah.
Hi, Paula. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for your hospitality and
Texas hospitality. We won't talk about your driving.
No,
again.
No. I don't know how. Yeah. Maybe they drive better. I don't.
Hopefully they're good drivers, right?
Sean, I'm hoping they forget what I said. I want to do that.
On the driving, eh?
Right. And then also we want to, because it's getting close, we are about a week and a half away from the Hillbilly Horror Stories live show here in Indy. And let's play that promo for you guys.
Tracy, we are so excited for our upcoming live event in Indianapolis with Tragedy of Cinema and Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
Yes, we're looking forward to seeing all of you.
I'm Todd.
I'm Nate.
And I'm Sean. And we are Middle Aged and Creeped Out.
We are looking forward to sharing some creepy stories with all of our hometown listeners.
I'm Jimbo with the Tragedy of Cinema.
And I'm Kyle, also with Tragedy of Cinema.
Indy is also our hometown, and we have the perfect horror movie to break down for you guys.
Come out and see us on Saturday, July 16th at the VFW on South Lockburn and help veterans at the same time.
All 3 shows are clean, so this is a family-friendly event. Tickets are just $20. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now at hillbillyhorrorstories.com.
And there you go. We got to get those creepies and hillbillies and tragedies. Got to get them to the live show.
I like how you named them tragedies.
Yeah. I don't even know if they have a name
the tragic.
For them, but I'm calling them the tragics, the tragedies.
There you go.
The cinematics. I don't know.
The tragic, creepy hillbillies.
That's a combo right there. Combo
that meal. Is a combo.
Combo meal.
Speaking of Motley Crue.
I'd like to supersize my live show. Okay.
Finish him.
We've got
right.
Finish him. Sweep the. Yeah. So, get your tickets. Sean, tell them. Just
go get you some.
You heard it. You heard
that's
it.
That's right.
Man.
Right?
Yeah.
I like
so,
it.
So, yeah, we got to get these people out there. We got to meet them and sign an autograph. Right. That's the only reason I want people there. That's Why else?
They really? Come and hear me say, "This is fascinating."
Are you bringing a Sharpie?
Oh yeah.
Remember? I'm going to have it in my sock.
Click, click.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that's coming up July 16th. Man, that's 1 week from the Saturday. But then again, are we just a week behind? What are we?
On these, I don't even try to pretend anymore because...
No. Actually, I think, yeah, we're just a week.
We're a week behind, yeah.
Yeah.
Because,
yeah, so. Man, that vacation throws me off big time. So now, the real reason we record, right? People listen is the dad stat of the week or of the show.
That's why I listen.
I knew it. Nate, I knew that. You may not know what to do with your hands, but by gosh, you know what? You want to listen to good dad stat. Okay, here we go. Dad stat of the show. Now, I'm a jewelry guy. I've always loved jewelry. I get it from my grandpa, my mom's dad, and Elijah. He like, you know, bracelets and necklaces, you know. I don't wear necklaces anymore. But anyway, I've always liked jewelry. So here's a stat that I found interesting. Each year, more than 50,000 people are injured by jewelry in the United States alone.
What in the actual heck?
50,000 people. Now, how are you, I mean, what's going on here?
Construction's riddled with it.
Really? Mm-hmm. So it's you guys.
Yep.
It's you guys. It's you over there.
It's you guys.
Yeah, you get your ring stuck in something that peels your skin off or gets smashed on your
necklace.
Finger.
Ooh, I never
get hung.
Yeah. Or a big thing with welding and is a hot BB going in your glove and sticking to your ring and then burning your ring into your flesh. I've never had that happen. But
nice.
I've heard it, you know. Guys, that it has happened to.
Yeah, okay.
This is very uplifting, by the way. Yeah. I just, I know. Yeah,
aren't you glad you joined us, Creepy?
Right, yeah. It's up from here.
Then I'm sure, 50, like 000. Earrings.
That's a lot.
Oh, earrings get hooked on something, and ripped out of your lobe.
Yeah, that's true.
All the mental pictures.
I mean, I remember playing pickup basketball a lot, and I'd wear a necklace and stuff, and I'd get, you know, you go up for a rebound or in somebody's hand or garden, you know. I got a couple broken, but never got hurt. I never got injured. But
I'm thinking about you, like Flavor Flav with the big clock.
No, I didn't wear clocks. No, I didn't do that. Like, I had
time.
The,
That's that's a mental picture I'm going to hold on to.
I have a.
You can.
All right. Yeah.
You're welcome. I can't force you. Not
I have a iron worker buddy. His nickname is Tackle Box because he had a lot of piercings.
Oh.
He no longer has all those piercings. I think he was.
They've all been ripped away.
I don't know if they've necessarily been ripped away, but yeah, it's just the whole
idea of what can happen.
Welding and having BB stick to it and burn you and all that kind of stuff. So
that's enough to get me not to wear them.
He eventually took them out.
Smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
Do it before something happens.
Yeah, no kidding.
Be proactive, yeah. Instead of reactive. Okay, there you go. That was the dad stat of the show. And what do we got now? Oh, hey, look, it's Sean's turn.
It's my turn.
What are we going to talk about for episode number 71?
Well, credit where credit is due. It is my pick. I mean, this is my night, isn't it? Haha. We're going to talk about something. We brought this up on, I think, episode 3 when we were talking about Halloween. And
I don't remember.
You don't remember. That's so long ago. But we had, I think it was that one. Maybe not. I don't know. But we talked about Poltergeist and that sometime we need to talk about that. Well,
yes, I do remember that.
All these episodes later, we are going to talk about the original Poltergeist 1982 film. So just kidding, Poltergeist. So I will lay a quick foundation. I think most people know what a poltergeist is. You know, it's a,
And I want to give that.
Oh,
so
you,
I mean,
do you have
it? No, I'm saying I didn't mean like I have to give it. I'm just saying, I do want to make sure that the creepies, you know, some probably don't know what a technical term of poltergeist is. So let's give them that. And then we can get into the movie part.
Okay.
Yeah. If you don't mind.
I don't. It's pulling up very slowly.
Is it a
though.
Ghost chicken?
Here it is. Ha! It came up. Yeah.
That's
it
a is poltergeist.
Not, it is.
Poltergeist.
That's poltergeist. Yeah. That's good. I like that. Poltergeist in ghost lore. But he'll be here all night.
Don't forget to tip your waitress.
Where's the laugh track? We need the laugh track. In ghost lore. Ghost lore, a poltergeist. Poltergeist, see, there's all kind of poltergeist. German for a rumbling ghost or noisy spirit is a type of ghost or spirit that is responsible for physical disturbances such as loud noises, objects being moved, or destroyed. Most claims or fictional descriptions of poltergeist, I don't know why I have to say it like that, show them as being capable of pinching, biting, hitting, and tripping people. They are also depicted as capable of the movement or levitation of objects such as furniture and cutlery, or noises such as knocking on doors. Foul smells are also associated with poltergeist occurrences, as well as spontaneous fires and different electrical issues such as flickering lights.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Pinching, biting, hitting. Typically, so they're toddlers.
Typically they're troublesome, very, yeah,
they're,
spirits.
They're bad toddlers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Naughty.
They normally haunt a particular person or a specific location is what they're known to.
And a lot of times they're attributed to like teenagers, especially teenage mm-hmm. girls, because of the hormones and mm-hmm. the changes. So they can kind of cause a lot of that. So, which makes sense.
that makes a lot of sense.
I have a 14-year-old daughter. Lights flicker. See, like, wait a minute. Why did the dish fly across the room?
The earliest.
Oh, no. She's walking in the room.
Olivia.
The earliest claims come.
Don't look at her.
Go she all the way listen, back sorry. To the first century, and references of poltergeist became more common in the early 17th century.
Gotcha. Okay. Well, I just thought that'd be a good
That's a good foundational kind foundation.
Kind of given what the technical term of a poltergeist is. So yeah. Mm-hmm. So now we're going to talk about the 1982 movie.
Poltergeist is a 1982 American supernatural horror film directed by Tobe Hooper and written by Steven Spielberg, Michael Gross, and Mark Victor from a story by Spielberg. It stars Joe Beth Williams, Craig T. Nelson, Heather O'Rourke, and Beatrice Strait, and was produced by Spielberg and Frank Marshall. The film focuses on a suburban family whose home is invaded by malevolent ghosts that abduct their daughter. And one of the most famous lines is, "They're here."
Never heard of it.
You never heard that one? No. Heather O'Rourke got to say that one, the cute little girl.
Yeah. So, 82, I was 11. I know you guys probably weren't born.
No, two.
Two.
Yeah. I was three.
Scared the daylights out of me.
It was a scary one.
It was rough. As an 11-year-old, now I watch it as an adult, and I'm like, eh. Because some still scare me, but that one did. But boy, it. I remember watching it with my mom and my sister on a summer night. Like I said, I can remember, you know, whatever, 100 years ago. That was one they had to settle me down.
I bet.
I was like, oof, okay, yeah.
For young kids, it is. It's very disturbing. And I don't know. I mean, I was either a older kid or maybe into my teenage years before I saw it. And I remember when I first saw it, it was like, oh, my gosh, what did I do? That's just super disturbing. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, now watching it as an adult, I mean, it's still scary, especially for the 80s.
It's still a good movie. Hold up.
And it's a great – I think it – I mean – it's funny because you listen to, especially people, critics at the beginning were like, oh, this is a terrible movie. How can, you know, blah, blah, blah. It did great at the box office. So I don't know what they're talking about. But nowadays, a lot of people put this at a high, you know, level in horror, you know, rankings.
It's a classic. Yeah.
One guy put it in the top three. I mean, and he was like, out of all time. Now, there's a lot of good horror movies out there. And I thought that was pretty good. But he explained why. He went through in depth explaining why he thought this was such an overlooked, underrated movie for a lot of horror fans.
I never thought about it as underrated, but I can see that. It does not get mentioned along with, like,
the more
Halloween
I watched about it, the more I didn't. I never realized it either, how underrated it could be.
Yeah.
Or at least throughout, you know, the decades. Nowadays, I think most people see it and like, oh, yeah. I mean, it's a classic.
Yeah.
But in the way it was done, and I didn't know. There was a lot of stuff about it I didn't know about. You know, the fact that Spielberg, they were saying, oh, Spielberg was the real director. It wasn't really Tobe Hooper. You know, he's the one that did Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And many films. But that's one that a lot of people know him by. Mm-hmm. And that has a certain feel. I mean, talk about creepy. That's one of mine that gives me the chills, is Chainsaw Massacre.
I mean,
no matter how many, you know, and it's older, 70s movie, but it is like
74.
74. It is classic of like, oh, just gut wrenching to think about. But this,
because that stuff happens.
Right? That's the scary part of it. And, but they said that this film, and it's true, when you really go back and look at it, it has first of all, there's effects that, like, give you a Ghostbusters feel. Well, this was a year before Ghostbusters came out. So they said that they did have, you know, that Ghostbusters feel to it. And they had, it was like that Spielberg feel, too. You know, they had it's a balance of,
I can see that.
You know, American Pie feeling, you know, like, hey, this is the American way and everything feels real safe and secure, just kind of like an E.T., you know. Before this, he did Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and this was he wanted to do a horror version of that, and this was kind of his idea that he had pitched to Tobe. and said he wanted to do it like this, but he wanted to do it from an alien idea. And Toby said, well, why don't we do it with paranormal or supernatural? So that's when they made it into this haunted house idea. So I think that's really cool. And but a lot of people still say that Spielberg was on this set more than just being a producer. And they're like, so they're, but they say to this day, he still credits. He says, hey, Toby Hooper was the director. This was his baby.
The late Toby Hooper.
Yeah. Right. And he says, I mean, he wrote a letter to him congratulating him on all his good work. But they said, he said that Toby Hooper was a very soft-spoken person, wasn't a real aggressive person. You know, you know, he was a genius in his own right, but Spielberg was more the voice. And that's why he, Spielberg says, that's why people think that he was the brain behind it, because Spielberg was more vocal. But he said Toby was, Toby would agree and kind of nod and go on, but he's like, that didn't mean that he wasn't directing it. So yeah, I thought that was interesting that there was even a question, but that people were like, oh, this is a Spielberg movie, and you can feel Spielberg all over it, which I agree.
So did you guys see, I only thought of Spielberg, I never knew until I started doing research all these years later, I had no idea Toby Hooper had anything to do with it.
It's funny,
I just knew him from the all the other movies like Chainsaw, but I had no idea.
I thought that it was just well known that Spielberg was a great influence, or that he was, this was more his film too. I agree. That's why I didn't know all these intricacies about this. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it, I think that's really interesting.
So it sounds like Toby Hooper was the opposite of Stanley Kubrick, where he was, right, you know, kind of a psycho, like, aggressive, for, you know, hard on his actors. And yeah,
no, he was super chill. It sounded
So yeah, so this movie, man, because I saw it, you know, obviously it came out of the movies, and then it went to HBO when it finally got to cable. Mm-hmm. That's where we watched it. Oh man, it did. It sent me out of the. I mean, I liked it, but it scared me to death. And so, like I said, my sister and my mom were like, "It's okay," you know. And I've seen it two or three times since then. So, like I said, it's not a movie that, like we talk about The Exorcist. I refuse, but this movie I can watch and enjoy it.
Yeah.
I'm not terrified and scared, but. It was good. It's I'd say, yeah, I don't know if I'd rank it in my top three, but it's top 20 in mine, you know.
I'd say at least top 10, I would feel. I'd put it in mine, yeah. I really like this movie. This has been one of my favorites. I wouldn't say three either. Maybe five at most, but I'd say top 10 at least. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing it.
It's one that sticks with me for sure.
Yeah, when I think about early horror movies that I've watched, it's always Friday the 13th and... this one.
And Halloween. That's another one, obviously. And Halloween, that sticks out, yeah.
Well, what's interesting is, like, Friday the 13th, the original.
Mm-hmm.
I did not see that until I was in the maybe late teens. So I was probably like 17, 18, 19, mm-hmm. you know, where, like, Halloween, I saw it when I was a kid, scared me, of course, and then this and Exorcist. So I saw all these classic movies, but Friday the 13th, for some reason, I didn't see it until I was maybe graduating or high school or something. But
they imprint on your brain, don't they?
Yes, they do. And like I said, like this movie, oh man, it's terrifying.
There's certain scenes you cannot get out of your, we've talked about before, you can't get them out of your head.
My problem is I've seen the sequels too, and I haven't watched any of them for a long time, so there's probably some scenes in my head that
are mixed up and mixed between
up
them
on which movie it is.
Yeah, and that's what, and there was also a remake too, which basically flopped, and they've been talking about doing another remake.
So the the remake was 2015 with Ryan Reynolds. I think if you just watch the movie and then try to associate it with the original, like if it's just a standalone,
it's supposed to be based on the original, but it's like different character names and
I can't remember that. But Amy and I watched it. I liked it. I mean, it was okay. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I wouldn't call it a bust. It's just if you're comparing it to the classic, well, you're always going to go, eh. But I think just if it was just by itself, or if the original had never happened and then they did this movie called, Poltergeist in 2015, yeah, it'd be good.
The remake, too. I remember they said that one thing
Right, though. It's a little bit, they do reference a lot of the scenes and all that. But it's it kind of tried to make it a little different,
its own,
which they should. I mean, really,
one thing I wrote down about it, and we're not going to talk about that remake, of course, right now, but it is the director of that had said that he ended up, not intentionally, but he stayed in a house during that filming and it ended up being haunted and having paranormal activity.
Yeah,
so I thought that was interesting, and that he had recounted that.
So because I want to get to the Kurt, because that's half of this. You know, there's the movie itself, and then there's the curse, the famous curses of or curse of Poltergeist and the franchise.
That keeps the mystique of this whole movie alive too. You know, yeah, people and watching this movie, you thinking, you and that's think about thing. That stuff.
I didn't know anything about a curse until, I don't know, really not.
The internet came along.
Yeah, when did that come along? Yeah, 94. No, but you know, honestly, I didn't even know until probably just a few years ago. I had no idea about a curse. I mean, you knew O'Rourke died, and just because I remember that happened.
Yeah,
because I was 88. I was I mean, you just remember, but I don't remember it being like associated with a curse, and then all having all these other things until just a few years ago. And you hear, you watch documentaries, or you hear other podcasts, or you just you read about it, and it's like, oh, there's something. Yeah, okay, this is kind of freaky, but. That's kind of the fun part where you know about the movie and some things that happen, but then years later you can still find stuff that you didn't know about. I think that's kind of a fun part about it, about movies or even musicians or, stuff that you find out as an adult. It's like, oh, cool.
Mm-hmm. This is similar. It reflects what we talk about with the Omen, having the curses and the subject matter they're talking about.
Exactly. Now,
this is the one, if I remember correctly, is where Craig T. Nelson... smokes the pipe with the Indian, and then
No.
Or is that one of the sequels?
That's the second or third one.
Second or third.
Yes.
Okay. I'm trying to remember how this one ends.
How this one ends?
Yeah.
This is what the house implodes on itself.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
they move into the Holiday Inn and put the TV out. That's
what he opens the door and throws the TV out.
Yeah.
And
then I didn't want to. I was like, ooh, are we going to spoil
it? So
that?
I'm going to. I think it's the second or third one because I don't remember that.
So I remember that one too. But then the old Reverend with all his followers in the cage.
Cain. The old man, creepy old man.
And creepy. I remember that scene too. That's where I get them all mixed up because I remember these certain.
I had to
scenes,
do the same thing when I was looking.
And I can't remember which one's which.
Which one goes with
what? A lot of these videos will bleed through these, and so it is. Yeah. It makes it very difficult. The interesting thing that I didn't know this, but it has Shining qualities to it as well, or at least it. And at first, this guy that was looking into it, he said first I thought it was maybe just a mistake. But there is the room number that they used in The Shining for the actual movie was what, 236? Is that what it was? Or
I can't remember.
I can't remember. Darn it. So it was in the end of the movie at the Holiday Inn. It shows the number it basically reflects. It's on the door. It's 217. Darn it. I'm sorry. I should have written these down. But whatever number is originally what. Stephen King used in the book, I think it was 217. They show
217 was the Shining.
They show it, and it goes by the door, and they're like, it's not a mistake because earlier they show the TV that is where she's trapped.
Mm-hmm.
Heather O'Rourke is trapped. She is
Carol Ann.
She is the clock is stuck on 236, I believe, and that's what the number they use for The Shining, and that was the whole idea of the moon landing and all that kind of stuff. That's why he changed it. Remember Stanley Kubrick, the number that he used. So they said that was definitely an homage to The Shining, and that most people don't even realize that.
Wait a minute. So
217.
I'm getting confused here because
was 236? 217 was the room number they used.
Right. But he changed it. Stanley Kubrick changed the room number. I didn't write any of that down.
Okay. I was like, wait, hold on. What? Okay. I got
you. As soon as you guys did that voice, it just brought
Caroline
nightmares to that lady.
I know. I know she was the, she was helping,
but she was creepy.
Yeah, because she was so creepy. Everything was so dramatic and crazy. Yeah. Oh my god,
she always adds a creep factor.
She's
to her characters.
In the TV. She's not coming back until. No, I don't. I'm throwing my own.
237. So I looked it up real quick.
Gotcha.
So
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So he changed it to 237, but that had to do with the 237,000 miles to the moon or whatever. Blah blah blah. So yeah. So 217, 237.
Okay.
But their reference, and I was like. So, like I said, I probably took too deep of a dive into a lot of this stuff, but I did not know that.
Okay. That's good to know now.
Conspiracy theories.
So, I love it.
So, we know the whole, they're here when she turns around to her mom and dad, and the TV's all fuzzy. Yeah. And that's what's funny is when I was a kid and back in the day when we didn't have the cable, obviously made it good reception, but like every once in a while there'd be a station or I'd try to get a station off of the cable. and it would do that, you know.
Right.
Like, nope, hurry up. Let's get to a channel that's like, that's how creep out. I mean, like, nah, I'm not taking a chance.
Like me with Candyman not wanting to turn the light on.
That's
the
right.
Exactly. I'm like, nah, I'm not going to take a chance. Who knows?
They said, I mean, as they're setting it up, the movie looks very, even the music that it starts with is very like, kind of like, doo-doo-doo. You know,
we're just in America's neighborhood. Perfect.
Right, the cradle
nice
of America.
Hills of California. And
right.
Beautiful weather.
Everything's perfect.
The houses look great.
Kids are messing with the guy
riding bikes,
taking the beer home and everything. Yeah, and
let's dig a pool.
Well, they said that even though that they show a shot of the way the trees are, the trees and the tree, obviously, I know this is foreshadowing, but Robbie gets, you know, basically attacked by the tree through the window and everything, and he's scared to death of that tree outside of his window. But they said, if you notice in the beginning, those trees are everywhere, and it says it's almost like a looming, you know, something's out to get you feeling. Mm-hmm. And then they said even the way they kind of they pan in starts that whole, you know, we're coming from this paranormal feel, but we're doing it very subliminally.
Yeah.
And they said if the music would have been more, you know, kind of spooky and scary coming in, people probably would have taken notice of some of the things that they were focusing on. They also focused on the fact that we have energetic abilities to interact with each other from dimension to dimension. And right. They said, you know, the guys that are controlling each other's TVs and kind of joking, and, you know, they turn it to Mr. Rogers or whatever, and then changes
the neighbors are messing with each other.
So they said that's subliminal. They're trying to say, we're going to show you just how, you know, we take this stuff for granted that we have ability over electricity, but let's take that to the next level of what about, you know. And I thought, I never looked that deeply.
Like there's something else that has control.
So there's layers in that they were trying to set up that I didn't even realize, but I looked into some of these videos that like really picked the psychology of this movie apart. And I'm like, that's
because I think they're watching
wild.
The Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the neighbor,
he's changed it to like Mr. Rogers. And then they're like back. Hey, like, hey.
Yeah. There's like five or six of them.
But it seems like a very arbitrary and just kind of like,
just
silly being funny. Mm-hmm. Cause it is, it's pieced together with some silliness and funny, you know, there's some funny parts that are in between all the seriousness. And people ripping their faces off, you know, that's a great scene too, by the way.
Yeah.
That's disturbing.
That is.
That almost got them an R rating, by the way. That was the scene that they're like
in the mirror.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. The paranormal investigator's trying to, and he has a dream that he's ripping off, or a vision that he's ripping off his skin, and
I have no idea why it creeped me out when I was 11 years old.
That is still creepy to me.
Other than, like I said, the lady that's supposed to help, but she creeped me out more than anything. Yeah, she's like 4'2", maybe.
Yeah,
if she's that,
she's a witch.
She's also in 16 Candles, by the way.
Yeah, she is. She's creepy there too.
Her shoes squeak as she's walking down the,
very
the church. Yeah. So this movie, when the stuff starts happening, man, like when what's the kid's name? Robbie?
Robbie,
is that the
kid's? Mm-hmm. The buck teeth.
Yeah, poor kid. He's 50, by the way. He has that crappy clown, and you're like, oh, here we go. you know something's gonna happen, and
that freaked me out, but it never freaked me out of clowns.
No,
for whatever reason, but
didn't
it's
me
still freaky.
Yeah, the scene itself, but it's not like, oh, that really did it for me. For
she gets sucked into the portal, and then they think she's under the blanket, and it's that stupid clown.
Yeah,
and they're smiling.
That smile. I'm like, oh, I'm not gonna smile. Right. Yeah, so he's struggling with that thing, and then
that clown, they said on scene, actually almost killed the actor that played Robbie. Not intentionally. They said it was an animatronic clown, and it like malfunctioned, and it actually almost strangled him. But Spielberg realized what was happening, and he like untangled him. Or they said he could have died.
They thought it was just good acting, but they said he turned blue. They thought maybe this is not just
he
acting.
Recounts
it's something
how
that's
scary
actually
that
okay.
Happened.
Stop holding your breath.
Right. Okay.
Cut.
No CGI in that. Right?
Yeah, he's like. But
Spielberg saved his life, though. They said.
Yeah, that's crazy. So what was some of the other scenes? Because I have a whole section written down. I want to get to
the
like,
braces
the,
scene.
The curse.
Oh yeah,
is an unforgettable
was that first
one.
Or second one though.
That's the first one, isn't it? Is, yeah, that's.
I thought that was the first one too, but
I think so.
I'm drawn to, okay.
Because I was watching. All
that's
the
older sister, mm-hmm. right? And it like wraps all around her head. And
the head.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Okay, I was thinking I couldn't remember if that was the first or second one. Yeah.
I forgot about that.
You know, and for the time, I mean, 82. It's a long time ago, really, for special effects. And it was pretty decent. I mean, you know, back then, like the thing that the beast that they called it coming out of the claw or the wall or whatever, and it kind of roars at him. Oh, man, that was the one. I'm like, oof. That scares
this
me.
Says, okay, you know what? You guys are right. I was thinking of, see, you're right about that. It's What's in that? The second one.
It's in the second one?
It's in the second okay. one, yep. Poltergeist 2, so I'm glad I looked at it. I was like, huh? I was thinking it was in the, you're right. Yep, it's in the second one.
Hmm. I have seen the second, I've seen them all. Definitely the first one is the one I've seen mostly, but I think I've seen the second one maybe twice, but that's like, I haven't seen that in 20 years.
Going back to special effects, it's hard to fake any, you know, skeletons when you use real skeletons in the pool scene.
That was
so that kind of started.
I got that written down. Yeah.
So that what was her name that played the mom? Jo Beth Williams.
Yes.
Is that right? Yeah. I saw an interview with her, and she said no one knew except Spielberg that those were real.
Mm-hmm.
She thought they were props, and then of course they find out that they're real, and it's because they thought it'd be too expensive to make, you know, plastic or rubber mm-hmm. ones. And I think she said like 4 or 5 days she spent doing that scene. And she's like, I'm in this mucky, muddy water and dirty and getting drenched. And I got these. And she's like, and then
skeletons
I find out I'm with
popping out
real
all over.
Skeletons.
Real
yeah.
skeletons, yeah.
That would kind of be a little bit game changer there.
Well, it's interesting.
That, but they said that all the kind of the curse moving forward kind of maybe started with that.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Those skeletons.
At the end there, Craig T. Nelson, where he's sitting there telling him like, you move the stones, but not the bodies. You know, that's the
whole
reason.
Oh, yeah, that's
reason.
A great line. Yeah,
so, but ironically, mm-hmm. you used real skeletons and you cursed us. You know, like,
yeah, and
how
Spielberg's
dare you?
Going, oh, yeah.
oops, sorry.
I didn't tell you there,
my
Joe.
My bad.
Yeah, Joe Beth. Yeah.
But yeah, that's a very memorable scene.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
The stretching hallway. That is a.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's a wild one where she's trying to save her kids and it just gets longer and longer and longer. That effect is, I mean, for 1982, that's pretty wild.
I think for that time, I mean, gosh, we're talking, what, 40 years ago? Mm-hmm. Pretty decent. And I liked when they kind of start seeing things happen, but it's not so malevolent yet, where they see the one at the chairs, they kind of stack up on the table. Mm-hmm. Remember that, where they're like, "Watch this," you know, and then the chair kind of just slides across the floor. The kitchen
it's very
floor.
Benign to begin mm-hmm. with.
Yeah,
right.
It's kind of cool, and they're like, "This is awesome," you know, and then obviously it kind of moves into a more darker, you know, as far as the beast and what it wants. So yeah.
they said that
not as cute and funny.
They said the stairway even they used where the mm-hmm. the ghost is
the
floating
mist or
down.
Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
They said no stairway would have really been like designed like that. But even back in that day, there you know it would have been linear and very straight lines. But that was very curved, and they said that was to give that paranormal interdimensional feel of we're
yeah it's
floating into
float.
Another mm-hmm. realm. And I was like, I never noticed that either. I never noticed the stairway was designed in a spooky way, you know?
Yeah. No, I wouldn't have thought that either.
I had never ever even considered it.
Yeah. What other scenes, you know, I know this is the fun part about doing a movie episode is just kind of thinking about, oh yeah, remember that or, you know, cause I really didn't write down I like to remember. I like to come up with so that, you know, in the conversation, you know,
the
conversating,
kids, the kids being
conversing
almost sucked into the other dimension. And her having to go, well, when she had to save Carol Ann too, when she had to tie herself off and go and
into, yeah.
And say, because they said that, what did the psychic say? That he's tricking her into believing that she's safe with him. And then when they're all trying to communicate with her and she won't answer them. And what does she say? Something about who does she respond to like more? Because the mom's like, talk to us. And then the dad goes, you know, Craig T. Nelson says, Carol Ann, you talk to your mother right now. And then she starts talking and yelling, you know. And I think that's interesting. That shot, they said, is even the way that they're all looking at the same spot. They said it was perfectly shot because they're all, you know, it showcases each one of them, but then they also keep them in the shot. So it's just, it's an interesting way that they're...
What their reactions.
Their
looks.
Yeah, you get to see that reaction and each one of them gets to like highlight their ability to act
mm-hmm.
to this other, you know, dimension even. And it's just, it is really freaky. Yeah. So, you think about, and we've talked about this many times, like when you're talking about kids and when kids are affected or kids are in peril, yeah. Your heart goes out to him. And then as a parent, you're like, oh my God, what would I do? You know, it's just, it is terrifying.
Yep. I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That special effect was awesome. You know, with all that other dimension and I forgot about where she had to tie the rope.
Yeah.
And then you hear that faint, you know, Carol is talking. It sounds like she's a million miles away.
Right. Exactly. Faint. She's in another dimension, right?
Hello. Yeah.
Yeah. She's with the Beast. Yeah.
The Beast. Ooh.
I think the whole house imploding on itself is pretty mm-hmm. creepy too. And then can you imagine being a neighbor like, what, you know,
what's going on?
Yeah.
My house next, you know, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's like, is this
sinkhole?
Yeah, right.
Big sinkhole.
Right. I hope you had good homeowner.
Good, right, yeah.
Does that cover that? Does homeowners cover beast type entities that wreck your house?
Yeah, I've seen that. What's that meme where it shows the picture of all of them, you know, like when this, you know, the normal family moves next door, yeah. You know, but, like, great.
Everybody smiling.
New neighbors, honey. Yeah. They look perfectly normal.
Yeah. Any other scenes or anything you can think of before we get into like the curse of the poltergeist?
The scene of Robbie getting sucked by that tree and Dad having to pull him out of there, and everybody's mm-hmm. like filthy covered. And then that's when Carol Ann gets taken. Basically, they're being distracted
because he sees that two or three times. It creeps him out. He can see like the silhouette, and it looks like a monster or an arm. Mm-hmm. You know, but it, you know, like his imagination. You know, he kind of just sees it through his window. He looks to the left or whatever, and then it finally does. Reach in and
that's like all your childhood fears.
Oh, just you think everything looks like something that's mm-hmm. a monster going to get you. Yeah, that's that's this movie is excellent at that. And that's like I said, that's why
something's
it creeped me out
under
as a kid.
The bed.
Oh, yeah, and you got some smiling clown that's gonna strangle you. I think those are the main parts of the movie itself, you know, that were creepy and scary and mm-hmm. and you can remember. So past this, and if there's anything else you want to bring up in the middle, you know, that's fine. I want to get to the curse of the poltergeist. And it's not, I found it's not just the movie, the first one, but it kind of spills into
the other one.
Actors and things, or people that after that, into the second, third, and whatever, that had something to do with this movie franchise. Yeah.
Right. They say months after the release of the first film, a star was murdered. So Poltergeist was released June 1982. And in November of that year, 22-year-old Dominique Dunn, mm-hmm. who played Dana, the family's oldest daughter, was murdered. She was strangled in her own driveway by her abusive ex-boyfriend and was removed from life support 5 days later. And then he only had to serve like 3 years or something like that.
Yeah. So John Sweeney,
and 7 months.
He was sentenced to 6 years for manslaughter. And then they let him out early. And they said people were just going nuts because they're like, he didn't get punished enough. Or, I mean, he literally murdered her. Choked her to death. He was upset because they were boyfriend and girlfriend. She broke up with him. He came to her house, trying to get her back. She refused, and he just lost his mind and
that's awful.
Strangled her and left her for dead. So over him just not being able to get back with her. I mean, just psycho. So that kind of started it too. Heather O'Rourke, so she was what, six I think when she made this, and then so in 1988 she was having some issues and they thought she had the flu. Mm-hmm. And she ended up dying from congenital intestinal some abnormality. She died on the operating table because they were trying to get a blockage fixed.
Congenital bowel obstruction.
12 years old.
She had cardiac arrest. They said it had gone septic.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was just a freak thing.
Poison. So she was, And so
she's 12, yeah.
Now, see, I remember when that happened. Like I said, I was 17. So I remember the Heather O'Rourke. I did not know anything about Dominique Dunn, the actress that got strangled to death until years later. So because all the talk was about the little girl,
Heather,
you know, because she was more memorable, you know, with the whole line of they're here. And
when she died, it was just, says several months, when she was 12, several months before the release of Poltergeist 3, which was the final chapter in the original series.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's kind of wild.
Yeah. I mean, that's very sad.
Sort of good that we brought up the other ones too, because two other cast members unfortunately died. They were not as unpredictable or mysterious, though. The evil preacher Kane from Poltergeist 2 was played by Gillian Beck in 1983. Beck had been diagnosed with stomach cancer, which took his life soon after he finished work on the second installment of the series. Same film was met with further tragedy after Will Sampson, who played Taylor, the Native American shaman.
I liked him.
Yeah,
I did too.
Cool.
He's cool.
Died after undergoing a heart lung transplant, which had a very slim survival rate.
Yeah, that's. You know, they said that, like you said, it was more unpredictable that that Dominic Dunn would be strangled and the little girl would have some abdominal issue.
Right.
And Donna, but still, though, it's like, okay, these two were, they were actors in the movie.
Yeah.
Or movies of the franchise, so it's just, yeah.
One I didn't know was one cast member barely escaped death. It was Richard Lawson. He was aboard U.S. Air Flight 405 when it crashed into Flushing Bay in March of 1992. A total of 27 people out of 51 on board were killed. Lawson survived, but the event is just another reason of or for people to say that it was a cursed movie.
And he was one of the investigators.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, I saw an interview with him, and yeah, he was talking about that. Like, he was trapped in underwater because his seatbelt, you know, trapped in a seat, and then yeah, just lucky, mm-hmm. you know, that it didn't take him. Brian Gibson, he was. Let's see here, my notes here. Read it. I think he was 59. He was the director of Poltergeist 2, and he died of bone cancer in 2004. So, Mr. Gibson. So, there's another death.
2009, a second member was murdered. Lou Perryman played the small role of Pugsley in the original film. He was 67 years old when a recently released ex-convict killed him in his own home with an axe.
Ooh.
So that's creepy. That's rough. And freaky.
And I didn't know that until today. Because I was looking at all of them and I was like,
and that's in 2009. Like, I mean, axe murderers were not a thing. You know, that was supposed to be the 1800s, 1900s.
Yeah, they're supposed to be in Villa Sky.
Come on, right?
Right, in Louisiana. Yeah, the guy got arrested, and he said that the reason he did that was when he broke in the home, he needed Perriman's car, and he was asking for some other household items so he could escape, and then, yeah, murdering him. What's going on here? Yeah. So James Caan, K-A-H-N, not the other James Caan, the actor.
Right.
So he was the, he wrote the novelization of the movie. Says he was involved in the film's production. I'm sorry, even though he wasn't involved in the film's production, he will, was still affected by it, the so-called curse. It said that he was writing the line in the for the novel, lightning streaked the sky. And at that same time, a freak lightning bolt struck his building. Yeah.
Yeah, I did hear that. I heard about that one.
Yeah, and it said that he said that the lights went out and that the video games in his house turned on and started playing by themselves.
Isn't that wild? That's crazy.
As he was writing that line for the movie, mm-hmm. or the novel. Yeah.
Hmm. So, that is really weird.
Yeah, it's kind of creepy.
I have a, I don't know, it's not necessarily part of, well, I mean, it's part of the curse, but it, like, no one got hurt in this, in an effort to further creep out everyone involved, Samson, the real-life medicine man who passed away due to the circumstances earlier, performed an authentic exorcism after shooting wrapped up one night.
Yes.
One can only imagine how this made the other cast members feel.
I bet.
Joe Beth Williams, in the interview I watched, said that he did it by himself on the set. He didn't want anybody else around. And because some of the goofy, weird things were happening, they said that her and the crew felt better. They felt like something had changed the next day when they went to filming after he did that exorcism.
After doing that. Mm-hmm. That weird.
Yeah. And she was actually quoted. She said she doesn't believe in the curse. She thinks it's just stuff happens in life. People, people
prophecies
have
or
illnesses and die. I mean, it's not,
yeah,
you know,
happen.
Even though it's kind of all started after
6 degrees of poltergeist, right?
Poltergeist bacon.
Right. Oh, wait, what? Everything relates back to bacon, right? I think this is interesting that the film is loosely based on events at a house on Long Island, New York, where a family called the Hermans were plagued by a so-called poltergeist between February and March of 1958. Bottle tops and lids inexplicably, if I can say it, popped. Ornaments flew around the house. A heavy bookshelf mysteriously fell over, and a Virgin Mary figure, gosh, I can't talk like this, soared through the air and struck a mirror 12 feet away. A police officer came to investigate, but was almost hit by a flying globe, while a British press photographer who went to cover the story witnessed his flashbulbs lift off a table. A priest was called, and ministers from all sorts of faith conducted rituals on the front lawn, but still the strange happenings went on as parents James and Lucille and their two children, Lucille, 13, and James, 12, became increasingly scared. Experts confirmed the house was structurally sound. The fire brigade checked water levels in an old well, and equipment set up in the basement confirmed there was no land vibrations. It was a mystery. Then suddenly, as quickly as it started, the haunting stopped. A family who moved away soon after believed the events were somehow connected to an ancient Native American burial site near their home, of course, right? Something which features heavily in Spielberg's movie. But if you thought, it's not Spielberg's movie, right? But if you thought the poltergeist who inspired the film was chilling, what followed in the months and years after its release were even more freaky, and they earned Poltergeist the title of most cursed production of all time. So I think that's interesting that there was a mini story behind it.
Yeah, I had seen that, and I'm glad you brought that up because I saw that doing my research, but I didn't dive into it. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad you brought that up because I had no idea there was some story that really happened that inspired the movie. So good job, Sean.
Thank you.
No, I am. I'm glad you brought that up.
Good job.
Good job. Mm-hmm. And I told you, Jo Beth Williams, who played the mom, she said that even though she did not think there's really much to the curse, just weird occurrences, circumstance. She said, though, she would go back to her house every night after filming. Every time she did, her pictures and wall hangings were tilted. And so she would straighten them up. Mm-hmm. She'd go back to the film set the next day, okay, do her work, come back, and they were back to being messed with, like tilted again. So she had to straighten, and she was like, she's like, that's weird. But, and I was at her house, so, you know, but she still thinks that, you know, bad things happen in life.
What it's a just, crooked ghost.
You know what?
Every time she banged the door, they probably went crooked. Cause I figured it out, did you?
You did. If there's anything worse, you have to fix pictures and wall hangings. You know, it's like, oh, come on. You know,
right.
How tedious can you? So, but yes, she said every time. So, I do have another. Do you guys have...
Go for it, no? Mm-hmm.
Okay, I found this interesting. We were talking about the reboot in 2015. So, it said, when Poltergeist was rebooted in 2015, some wondered whether the stars would be safe. Although the movie was widely panned, it turned out no one had perished. Or it turns out that no one had perished yet, in parentheses, as a result of their involvement. That being said, director Gil Kenan noted some paranormal phenomena during filming. He is quoted saying, "Lights that could turn on anywhere else in the neighborhood would blow out the second you try to light them on the set. Also, I used a lot of aerial drone photography in the film, and the drone pilots were never able to lock in the GPS signal in this field. We would have to move 10 feet away to launch the craft." He said also, he's quoted saying, "The house that I rented during filming was straight up legit haunted by a female spirit dressed in black." He says, I became aware of her within the first few days of staying in the house. And only after I left did I receive a call from the previous owner who had moved back in, who was terrified by the goings on in the house and wanted to see if I had experienced any of it. So it was an incredible real life inspiration for filming that followed me home." So there you go.
That's wild.
So that was on the reboot. So director Gil Kenan thinks there's something to it.
Yeah.
So at least nobody's died yet. That's good, you know.
Yeah, there's always a...
I think there's plus. Something to
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Let's see. It's only been seven. Yeah, I mean... No, that's hopefully that didn't happen. But I thought that was kind of creepy because it's like...
That's very creepy.
That's a lot of years after the first movie. And
yeah.
So 33 years or whatever.
Woman in black.
Stay away from that woman in black.
Yeah, no kidding. So
you should lay there in white.
That's true.
We've talked about that before, haven't we?
Well, but then when we did that, there's women in green and red and I don't know, blue, pink. No,
turquoise.
I'm going to stop.
Plaid.
Brown. Yellow. Fuchsia.
Women of Lucky Charms.
I mean, Lucky Charms.
This is going to lead to Ladies of the Night, but I'm not going to go there.
You already did.
Oh, darn it.
No. Oops. So, yeah, there you go.
I think as far as Poltergeist goes, I know we said that it's a highly rated horror movie for us, but I think it at least is one of the greatest haunted house movies that they've ever made. Not the greatest, maybe.
I would agree with that.
One of the greatest, most haunted house movies.
Yeah, I don't know if I could put it in my top 10, but I'd have to really think. And it, yeah, I said top 20, definitely. It could be top 15.
We're going to have to do a mini or a full that is ranking. Like our rankings.
That'd be a good idea.
That's a great idea.
That'd be a good idea. No, I would
that
say.
That sounds like something Nate would come up with. A great
I would
idea
definitely
like
say, I would say from my childhood, so maybe say like pre-teenage years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's definitely.
So it will be.
That, well, Exorcist.
Todd's top 10, Sean's top 10, Nate's top 10.
You know what?
10.
Let's that do that. We'll do that.
That should
we'll
be interesting.
That would be, yeah. That'd be, let's...
Care Bears number one. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, we said horror movie, sorry. No. Well, there's a horror movie.
G.I. Joe's movie.
Wait a minute. Now we're getting cartoon. We're getting all caught off topic.
That scared me.
You know that Mr. and Mrs. Potato Head in Toy Story really creeped me out. Especially when they got flattened and they'd walk around. No. That'd be a good... Write that down. I'll put that
I will. Yeah. I will definitely do that.
What else you got for Poltergeist 1982? Anything?
Well, nothing. It, like I said, it scared the bejesus out of me when I was a kid.
Oh, it did me too. Did me in. Thank you to my sister and my mom for saving me.
Right?
Yeah. I'm like, what is going on here?
It's okay. The movie's over. Yeah. You can open your eyes.
Yeah. It was literally like, I mean, I watched it all, but I was like, I think I was having a panic attack. It's okay. Of course, it was nighttime. I mean, I remember the whole time. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going berserk, and they're like, it's okay. I'm like, no, it's going
to Can you imagine not wanting to swim because you're afraid you're going to like open your eyes and be in a pool of skeletons?
Yeah. Well, and when Jo Beth Williams said that she did that scene, it took like five days of doing that. Like, she's like, I had to keep being in the pool with those real skeletons.
Grueling.
Yeah. Yeah, I was. She said she was.
Sliding back down into it. Ugh.
Just nasty.
And especially, no. I mean, it's a good thing she didn't know until later, but can you imagine if she would have known or found out? Ugh.
Well, and I watched, just for the heck of it, I watched, the scene, a minute and a half, whatever, mm-hmm. when she, the first one pops up and she about loses her mind and then she turns around and the other one comes up. And I remember as a kid, like, oh my gosh, they just,
scary.
They just keep popping up. Yeah. She said it was legitimately really creepy. I've got these skeletons my face, like they're right there. Yeah,
and they're so lifelike.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, well, right.
Well, yeah, it's like they're real. Amazing, oh, they are. Spielberg goes, oh, I didn't tell you.
Whatever she got paid, it was not enough.
No,
not near enough.
No, that was very good physical creepiness, acting, whatever. Yeah, that's all I got, guys.
Her.
Yeah, and I hope our creepies.
That was good. That was fun.
I would hope and I'd assume most people have seen this, but if not, go watch it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We finally got around to this one, right?
I do remember you saying that early on.
A long time ago, yeah. Like I said, it was in our first,
I do remember that.
Yeah, our first couple anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember the episodes, but I do remember.
Yeah, I want to say it was three, but I could be making that up.
It only took a little over a year.
Yeah, that's no big deal.
Yeah, I've been doing it 16 months. Yeah, right. Well, there you go. That was the Poltergeist movie.
Yeah.
What else we got, Sean?
I'm going to go with a middle-aged dark side on this one because it's so spooky and
that
we
makes
might
sense.
As well just stay here. And I've got it's kind of a funny that goes along with it. You guys are going to kind of laugh, but it is still a dark side.
Is it one of those?
And I'm going to pull. You're going to be like, oh, such a Sean funny, right? I happened to hear this and I was like, oh, this is a good one. So I had this pulled up. It's Alice in Chains. All right. And it's Them Bones.
Them Bones.
I was like, yeah. So I will not sing this because I could never do the justice that Alice in Chains does. This is an awesome song. I've never heard it. It's amazing. It's a great rock out song. But I believe them bones are me. Some say we're born into the grave. I feel so alone. Gonna end up a big old pile of them bones. And then I'm not going to do that part, but I love that part. Exactly. Dust rise right on over my time. Empty fossil of the new scene. I feel so alone. Gun end up a big old pile of them bones. Told do, bad dream come true. I lie dead, gone under red sky. I feel so alone. Gun end up a big old pile of them bones. I feel so alone. I'm going to bend up a big old pile of them bones. And so on and so forth. I say it one more time. But anyway, so it's not a very long song. I mean, it is longer than that, of course. But that is the basis of the song. And I feel like out of this, I mean, it's dark, right? But mm-hmm. but it is, like I said, it's a great song to kind of get those emotions out. But to me, it's kind of like it resonates with me and it always has ever since I've heard it when I was younger. But it also, to me right now, feels life goes. I mean, we all go through changes right now. I'm going through some changes in my life. Good changes, but you feel kind of like Phoenix coming out of the ashes. So in this, I'm joking because I'm going to end up big old pile of the bones. I am referencing the bones coming out of the pool there. Right. So I thought that was perfect for the Poltergeist theme, but it's also just an idea that, you know, no matter how dark things get, you got to hold on and we're all going to we can come out of that pile of garbage we've talked about before, the bucket of poo, and rise up like a phoenix out of the ashes. So we're mm-hmm. going to pull some lightness out of the darkness. So I'm sure there are many other people that feel that way. Like I said, I've been feeling that way a little bit, starting to come back to feeling like myself again. But this song was like, yeah, I'm feeling like, you know, ashes to ashes, dust to dust kind of feeling, you know. But yeah, like I said, you just got to hang in there and persevere. And I thought this was a good quote. And I know this is going to make you laugh too, real quick. Winston Churchill, You guys know that guy?
Mm-mm.
Okay, this is.
I'm just glad you remember.
I know,
his name.
And I'm gonna blank on him, just Nate, for old times.
Get ready,
Winston Churchill.
The farther back, we need to edit that out. The farther back you look, the farther forward you are likely to see.
Mm.
So I thought that was Winston. That also goes to get. Thank you, Winston. We appreciate
WC.
That.
I like it.
Didn't he see Abraham Lincoln's
he did.
Ghost?
The, there's a the whole story, but I won't take the time to relay that. It has been related.
He said, hey, what up, babe?
Why, Mr. President, you have me at a disadvantage.
You know, real quick, going back to, though, as bad as...
Episode 7, by the way.
Okay, good job. I couldn't tell you. You know, even as bad as a forest fire is, you know, and things get wiped out and all that, I mean... rebirth happens at that. I mean, everything gets annihilated, all these trees and all the, you know, but then
that's right,
green grass and stuff, you know, and sometimes they said, and well, that's actually when they burn sometimes on purpose to kind of get rid
rejuvenate.
Of rejuvenate. Yep. So just, and you're 1 second away. If you, something bad happens, you know, you're literally 1 second away from something good that can get you back on track, you know? So that's why you can't give up. Like you said, you got to persevere. Just hang on. Just, that's all you got to do. Just hang on, you know? Because as quick as something bad happened or three for a loop, it can come back and you can grab life back and get on the positive side. So don't give up.
That's right. And that makes me think of, I think I've mentioned this before, or at least we've talked about it, is Ray Bradbury's There Will Come Soft Rains. And it's about what happens after the apocalypse, basically. It's a nuclear bomb and it destroys humanity. And there's these picturesque, you know, families frozen, everybody's gone, but the life has stood still and things are starting to basically crumble, but nature is still going on. And so it's interesting that there's still life. There's still, I mean, that sounds very dark.
It doesn't help us, Sean.
I just took that to a whole different place.
The birds are flying, but there's, I know what you're saying.
But it is that life is still there even after we're gone, kind of thing. So yeah, that really took, so I took the dark side.
Hey,
I gave a
doing?
Little light, and
what's
then the... I squelched the light with the dark. Sorry.
Making an
Oreo. It's like when life, you know, when we get killed. but you know what? Bugs still crawl. Wait, hold on.
I do love
what?
That. I do love that
what's
story.
What's going on here?
I do love that story, but it is very dark. So I'm sorry.
Good, I guess.
I should have saved that as another dark side. Darkest.
That
darkish.
Awesome. I don't know.
So anyway, the second part of the announcements.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
So moving on to the second part of the announcements. Let's get out of this. Quick. I got to dig us out.
Just
just
do the announcement.
You can follow us on many social media platforms like Facebook, TikTok, Instagram, and Twitter. You can check us out and contact us, connect with us through our email address. That's makopodcast@gmail.com. Two A's. We have Tuesday Terrors every Tuesday, no matter what Nate says. And they are videos of short stories with us, creepy stories, and ways to connect every week. So go enjoy those. And we are on all listening platforms, if I can talk and read.
Now, Litton here.
Head, please give us a 5-star rating and review if you like our show. If you don't, just keep moving on. if you're listening, Apple allows it. There is also merch for sale.
Oh, yeah.
There was a pause there between those two. There's merch for sale with our logo on it. Go get you some, right? Ding, ding, ding. Go get you some. And we...
Horns up.
I think we need to start this all over. We offer segment sponsorships for brick and mortar or just personal people that want to support us.
On behalf of Sean and Nate, I apologize to our listeners.
The things that come out of Sean's mouth are not representative of Todd and Sean.
He got Nate through
and,
it.
No, Sean. Well, yeah, nope, Sean, but not Nate and Todd. How about that?
Lost hope for a few seconds.
Never lose hope. Persevere.
Well, after the apocalypse and we're all gone, then Mother Nature will still be around.
What did I say? We're a second away from getting back on track with life and our podcast. Hang in there. Don't give up.
I blame the poltergeist for this.
The poltergeist?
Poltergeist.
He is Litton into
poltergeist.
Hey, Litton here, Nate.
don't you Mike Tyson me.
No, you're going to get me in trouble. I know he's listening.
Sorry, Iron Mike.
I'm going to beat that skinny white. So, Nate, please help us with rebirth.
Man, I think we've picked enough bones on this one. That's a wrap.
Not much left on it. I think they're bone clean. Well, thank you, Nate, for that. That's a wrap. We needed it. And we want to thank you, Creepies, for joining us for episode number 71 in our discussion on the Poltergeist movie. And until next time, Nader's your sound engineer, and we are your hosts, Todd and Sean, and we're middle-aged.
And creeped out. Keep it creepy.